In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reginald Atitula.
That's right, you're in the loop. Sports Radio 610, John Lopez, my man Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atitula, hanging out with you. Final hour of the program for the show before we turn it over to The Drive with Ron and Clint. And our special guest.
The surprise. Yeah, special.
Surprise special guest.
Oh, he just gave it away.
Sorry, I gave it. Nobody knows my voice. Yeah.
Seth Payne.
I'm the special guest.
Payne and Pendergast. Decided to grace us with his presence, give us a little bit of an insight into joint practice. And from what we could tell, sitting in studio, looking at tweets and those types of things, overall, just an incredible environment when it comes to, like, the level of practice, especially when you talk about the intensity, like they got to that level without crossing the borderline. Is that what it felt like?
There were no Jimmy Ward incidents. That was the one I was curious about, was exactly how Jimmy Ward would handle himself.
And no one was more worried about that than Jimmy Ward.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. He's self-aware. He's very self-aware of what his issues are.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good environment. I mean, like, a lot of good crisp play. I think it's funny. I was just doing an interview with somebody from NFL.com. He was kind of surprised because there's been so much gushing love about everything with the Texans in the offseason that I kind of launched into it immediately was, look, if they want to be genuinely elite, they got to get the run game going.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And Joe Mixon looks really good when he's out there, and we saw it today in practice versus the Rams. I'm growing increasingly concerned about the offensive line.
Okay.
The Rams defensive line, they've got some good players. But they were making it look like some of the bad days during camp when you're saying, well, maybe when Laramie and Tunsil come back, Laramie and Tunsil were out there today.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of penetration. But on the passing side of things, I mean, CJ was hitting guys. It looked really good when he did have a clean pocket. Defensively, every time I looked up, you know, at these joint practices, you're trying to divide your attention between the offense and the defense. It seemed like every time I looked over to the defense, Kamari Lassiter was breaking up.
Dude, that's what it looked like from where we were sitting.
Yeah. It was really cool. And I was talking to Vandermeer's kid at one point who's out there, and he said, oh, look at that. They got Kamari on Cooper Kupp. Mm-hmm. I'm like, Kamari plays the right side. He's not going to hide from anybody because Derek Stingley, unless they start traveling him at some point, Derek Stingley's on the left and Kamari Lassiter's on the right, and he's going to get the best receiver in these games until he proves that he shouldn't.
Yeah.
So far, like today, it looked really good. There's no Puka Nacua out there, though, obviously.
And along those lines, when it comes to Kamari Lassiter, I know that the big question when he was drafted was 4.6, right? Football speed, it was right?
Yeah. And that's where it's always interesting with football when you're reminded that it's not track, that you're measuring more than just speed.
Mm-hmm.
It's that if you're really, really good at all the other stuff, then the catch-up speed or anything else like that doesn't really matter as much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was already good to begin with, but we saw from the first week of training camp to now his understanding of NFL route running and what he can and can't get away with.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's hard to credit somebody's ball skills when you've got Derek Stingley on the other side, because Derek's are just freakishly good. Kamari's almost like he's got a lot of the same feel for when the ball is coming. You know, so he knows that even if he doesn't have the perfect leverage, he knows when to look for the ball or when to get his hand in between the receiver's hands and all that kind of stuff. So if you can just imagine him just being down in his stance and just having the right feel for exactly where to go with his own body, I think that's how he overcomes the lack of top-end speed, where there's a lot of other, like C.J. Henderson and Jeff Cooter on this roster, and they've got
top three guys.
Top-end speed. Yeah, they're drafted in the top three. but they're not as good at the complete and total package as Corey Lasseter is.
I'm still interested in the running game thing and the offensive line, just because, you know, we were talking about, okay, I've been saying it the last couple of days, I really want to see another back, and I think I had this conversation with you, other than Damian Pierce behind this line, just sort of see, you know, what it is exactly. And then all of a sudden we're seeing Joe Mixon, 11-yard run, Joe Mixon, or whatever it was. I know they weren't taking, but, you know, Joe Mixon looked pretty good today.
Yeah.
And yet I'm listening to you, and you still, even after seeing Joe Mixon have success, think it's there's something going on.
It's some of the stuff that plays in the backfield where somebody is unblocked. And some of the mental things, or just some of the, like, some of the nuances of playing offensive line. I was talking to Les Snead afterwards, because we go way back to when I was in Jacksonville.
And when he got you those tacos.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, when he bought me the tacos pocketed that. He confessed to pocketing
he did.
The rest of the money.
Okay, good. No,
he says he doesn't remember specifically, but it sounds like something he might have done.
100%.
But he, you know, I was telling him, like, you know, when I watch this offensive line and then I watch the 49ers or the Rams, which are both in this lineage of offense, when they're running the ball really well, it's just the offensive linemen are not in lockstep the way those teams are.
Yeah.
So I think Joe Mixon is going to be just fine. But if you want to be genuinely elite and be a top three rushing offense, which I think they have the potential to be, they've got to get on the same page on the offensive line. I'm not panicking over it at this moment. It's just that there's still young guys that need to come along, and I think with Laramie and Titus, part of it too is that they just need the reps in training camp and then time with everybody else. So it's there, the potential is there, but it's, I think by far right now, is the thing I'm most concerned about on the team.
And watching this space. We will be watching this space.
I hope they bust out for 150 yards rushing in the first week and people think I'm an idiot.
Which would be really spicy, because that Colts defensive line is something to contend with.
And I do think that, like, it gets talked about so much that I think sometimes people think that, like, it doesn't matter all that much, really, how much. The five fingers in a glove analogy with the offensive line in this system, it really does matter. And as much time and reps as they can get together. I mean, I can talk, I remember when I first met Gary Kubiak, when he came in the first year he was here, I'd always been fascinated by his offense because I'd played against it. And, you know, I'd study it and everything, but then, like, a couple times we had joint practices with the Broncos, and I would be, like grilling the offensive lineman in the cold tub after practice, kind of trying to steal exactly what it was they did.
Yeah.
And so much of it, when I would talk to Gary about it, was that it just comes down to reps. You know, they're asking those offensive linemen to do a lot.
Sure.
And there's a lot of technique involved in something that doesn't look like it should be all that technical. And there's just no replacement for time in the system. And I think that's where we see if Bobby Slowick and Chris Strauss are the offensive line coach to get it going.
But that's an encouraging thing, the idea that maybe over the course of the season you see it develop to the point where when you really need it to be at its pinpoint at the end of the season, it's hopefully a lot better than what you see now.
Yeah, because I think what I've seen out of Juice Scruggs and Kenyon Green is that I think they're totally physically capable of it. And I think Blake Fisher will get there. I think he's physically capable of it. I think he's still raw. So I'm not pessimistic about those guys. I guess I'm just wondering about the timeline, you know, and exactly, like, when do we really start?
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Aran, Pucks sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Start to see it click.
I'm fascinated. This is the one thing, and we talked about it on the air earlier. The one thing, since we weren't there, we were getting all the highlights and all that. How many reps and who played fullback?
That's right.
There was,
because I'm all about Cade Stover now, seems to be a guy that they're interested in, and some other guys. But or what happened?
Well, at one point, I got to be honest with you, I wasn't paying attention to the fullback position except one time when they were out there, and I thought I saw Kendrick Green lined up at fullback because Kendrick had been, that's what they tried to do in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And I was like running around the sideline.
No, we talked
like,
about that, when they got him. Yeah.
Was that Kendrick Green at fullback? Was that Kendrick Green at fullback? Yeah. And it was from the angle I was watching. I think he was set deep on the line. So it wasn't. So yeah. As far as I could tell, they didn't.
But to me, that's very, because that's a roster spot that you can steal.
Yeah. It's a big experiment. Yeah. For,
whether it's Stover or Jordan.
I think ultimately it's Beck, but Beck hasn't been healthy.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Where are you going to get a roster spot? If you're going to keep an extra receiver.
If you keep an extra receiver.
Or hell, an extra running back.
That's where I think that they're trading. Okay. Okay, this is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I talked to Jordan Rodrigue, who covers
the Rams.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And she did this podcast last year called The Play Callers.
I mm-hmm. loved it. Yeah. Fantastic
She
podcast.
Interviewed all those guys. So I sought her out because I knew she was going to be here because I loved it. Because yeah. She did this interview with all of Kyle Shanahan's coaching tree.
Yes. Yeah.
And I was taking notes on it last year because it was before training camp. So I've got like 8 pages of notes on this
That's
thing.
That's badass.
So I went up to her and told her, you know, just to compliment her on it and how much of a resource it was. She did one with Gerard Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she made a really good point about Cam Akers, which is, you know, Cam he's built for outside zone. And the Rams have moved away from that. They're mm-hmm. more of an old gap scheme blocking team now.
Yeah.
And Cam just really wasn't a fit. So it makes sense that the Texans would, you know, try to take a crack at Cam and see if he still has that.
Yeah.
They're sitting there having this combined practice and having time together over these next couple days. And I wonder if maybe Damian Pierce doesn't come up in conversation.
As a potential trade.
So,
yeah.
Or others with wide receivers, some of these young wide receivers.
Well, Robert Woods.
Yeah, or Robert Woods, or just a veteran
just
guy. Yeah. Either end of the spectrum, a team that's looking for a veteran guy that can be in the right spot all the time, or in either a Xavier Hutchinson or a John Metchie.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be blown away or surprised. I'm not predicting that it'll happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if a trade came out of this little 3-day excursion.
Yeah, especially since there was a lot of love between D'Amico and Sean McVay and all these things. So, yeah, I could absolutely see that. And I know that your attentions were somewhat divided, offensive field, defensive field. There's a lot to examine, but linebacker is a place where there's a lot of concern when it comes to depth, especially knowing that Christian Harris didn't play today.
Yeah.
When it comes to like kind of the depth pieces, Toa Toa and further on, like what did you see? What were you impressed by? That type of stuff.
I was watching Toa Toa today, and from the angle I could see, he was having some good reps, and I thought he was filling right. There was one tackle he could have made at the line of scrimmage where, you know, nobody's tackling. But I think where he might have just been, there was a lot of space. It was a big hole.
Yeah.
And I don't think he filled just quite right. That's the only negative play I can remember. I think the thing that I've thought over the last couple weeks with him as I've watched him more closely is that I think he is moving more fluidly and more athletically than he was last year.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that might be that he looks a little bit trimmed down, but I think part of it is just having confidence in the system.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not, that's another thing that I'm keeping my eye on.
Sure.
If Christian Harris can't play, I don't think he can do the same top end things that Christian Harris is capable of.
Yeah.
But
at least if he establishes like a floor.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I feel a lot better about Henry Toa Toa having to start right now than I did last year or all off season. So I think there's something there. I'm kind of looking at everything through the filter of, okay, how can you be elite?
Sure.
And with Christian Harris, that's one of the recipes for being elite.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know if I can go there with Henry Toa Toa right now.
No, absolutely. And Christian Harris at this point, I mean, I don't know if we are going to see him. I mean, I kept saying, don't worry about it. Nothing to see here, nothing to see here. He'll be fine. They're wrapping it up. But hell, they might wait into the season, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. And Will Anderson would be the other one that mm-hmm. I don't know about. One thing you'll find, Reginald, is that the Astros kind of scar you.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
I see it. I see it on the text line. I see it in the building. Yeah. I see it.
We saw that report that Deshaun Watson had elbow discomfort yesterday. Yeah. We're like, Tommy John.
Tommy John.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Tommy John, upcoming.
Yeah.
On the way.
Real quick before we let you go, most fun thing that you saw on the practice field today?
Most fun thing I saw, boy, there were a couple of really nice connections to Stephon Diggs. I think that's the one that I think until you see it in person and then obviously in the regular season, it almost didn't feel real for a little bit that Stephon Diggs was on the team. And we were out there the first couple weeks of camp. And you're looking around. And you're
that's Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, and it's Stephon Diggs, and he still looks really good.
Yeah.
And then he just Tank Dell and Nico Collins also being out there at the same time, it's really like, I've watched a lot of training camps and been in training camps in the NFL going back 30 years, and I just can't ever remember just seeing that collection of receiving talent.
It's crazy.
All out there at once. And then the other thing would just be the multiple Kamari Lassiter pass breakups.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
It was like, if the ball wasn't perfect, the receiver wasn't getting a hand on it today. That was really fun to watch, because that was, I feel like that's his first true non-Texans test. Daniel Jones decided to test Derek Stingley for some reason, so we didn't get to really see it. But now, like, this is Kamari Lassiter out there versus Matt Stafford.
It's going to be fun with him, I think. Yeah. I think it's going to be fun with him.
Yeah.
And he's gotten a lot of praise. Obviously, the play has been good, but then also, D'Amico went out of his way to talk about, you know, his time at Georgia, and he praised Georgia's system as well. So you could tell they have a lot of confidence in the young man.
Yeah, and the I think the other thing, too, is just seeing C.J. Stroud out there on the same practice field as Matt Stafford. You just kind of reflect a little bit on where C.J. was this time last year. You know, this time a year ago, C.J. didn't even know if he was going to be starting in week one.
Well, maybe he didn't. But
he said he genuinely didn't until that first week, or maybe after the last preseason game. And whether it was a genuine competition or not, C.J. thought it was a genuine competition. So, like, his command of the offense out there, including when the pass protection wasn't that great. Mm-hmm. There are times where it wasn't. It's not just the run game I'm worried about. I think Slow can scheme up pass protection, but that takes away from everything else that you can do, especially in the red zone. So I'm CJ just looking like the dude belongs 100% on the same field as Matt Stafford.
Man, Stafford on his list of top quarterbacks. Remember that?
It was kind
of
at the top of the list. I know you guys were talking about that earlier.
Was it Stafford's list that he put on the top? Yeah.
No, CJ Stroud. No, he was CJ asked on the podcast. Best quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, hey, Matt
Love
Stafford, man.
Yeah, I haven't listened to the CJ Stroud audio yet, but I guess he said something about, again? Like, I wasn't fanboying, but that he was, I think CJ was kind of thrilled to be out there. That's one of the cool things about, the first time I met CJ's mom last year during training camp, it was really cool that you see these parents of some of the high draft picks, and when you meet them and talk to them, you see that even though these kids played at big time schools and everything, they are just as wide eyed as if any of us had kids that were playing in the NFL.
Yeah.
And they're really just taking it all in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that CJ and Tank and those other young guys are still young enough that they feel that way about other NFL players. You know, as great as well as CJ played last year, and with all the events he had in the offseason, I think there's still a part of CJ that's just the kid that was sitting there studying Matt Stafford on his YouTube in high school, and like, wow, I'm in the same conversation as this
How
guy.
About that?
And he sure is. Seth Payne.
Good stuff, man.
Payne and Pendergast.
I'm
6
no Andy Kalu. I should have lowered my voice.
Nah, you did fantastic. Incredible. I appreciate you giving us a little bit of
time. Oh, yeah, way better than Andy. You're going to say it. But
I was about to say it, and I was like, I probably shouldn't do that.
I got to text Andy.
Yeah,
that's fine.
They just said I was better than you.
Yeah, exactly. Great first impression to make. Seth, we appreciate you giving us a little bit of time. Make sure you listen to our guys, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here, Sports Radio 610.
Thanks, guys. You guys sound good.
All right, man.
Thank you. There it is. A little bit of update what happened at the joint practice earlier today for the Texans between the Rams or Texans and the Rams. Coming up next, time to get a little bit of Figgy's mixtape. What we got coming?
Man, imagine trying to order a burger and you trying to pay them in drugs.
Huh?
A crazy ass story coming up. And plus, I think I found the song that's more patriotic than the national anthem. I want to see what y'all think of this.
Excellent. That's next.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not so secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to the Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.